Welcome to the fourth episode of the Software Architecture Microsoft Platform mini course. This episode shares subject with episode 5. It's about the Microsoft Azure Service Bus and how to take advantage of it. It's about a specific pattern that combines the best of two worlds: the world of fast and easy access to query data, the world of reliable master data stored and protected by information services. The major purpose of this episode is to give you some background to that pattern. It's also to show you how it would look without the service bus. Episode 5 then makes the story complete, pulling the service bus into action. When we suggest that developers should use the Azure Service Bus, we often get a negative response. They tend to say something like, "I don't want to complicate my application." That response is understandable. Largely, the service bus is for asynchronous communication, which is more complex than synchronous. For one thing, the sender won't get a direct answer from the receiver. The receiver must use a separate channel for the response. The sender must watch that channel and pick up the answer. This is more complex than to send a message and then wait for a direct answer, as you do in synchronous messaging. And yet, you can use the service bus to reduce complexity. We, the developers of the world, used to build stovepipe applications. To be honest, we still do a lot of these. A stovepipe application is more or less self-contained. It includes UI components, business logic components, and an application database. That database contains every piece of data the application needs. There's a lot to say for application databases. They contain all the data the application needs, so data access is easy to program. For that same reason, data access tends to be fast. It's the simplest model for business applications. It's far less complicated than applications based on the service bus. But there's no such thing as a free lunch. Stovepipe applications are no exception to that rule. Consider a new stovepipe application. As stovepipe applications tend to do, it will have its own database. More likely than not, some of the data it keeps is already in an existing application's database. In the case of applications, A and B, it's customers. But there could be any kind of redundant entities. There could also be any number of databases with redundant entities. With luck, the entities stored in the different databases are compatible, but who has ever heard of that kind of luck? No, there's a good chance they are incompatible. In fact, this model carries with it two kinds of incompatibilities. There's data redundancy, which we've already talked about. Objects that occur in more than one database are often difficult to merge. Tables and columns tend to have different names and different structures in different databases. Not to mention that the same attribute tends to have different values. There's also business rules redundancy. If both applications update a specific entity type, then both must have the same rules. These must be specified the same way, and they must be implemented the same way. However, each stovepipe application is autonomous. Different applications are often built by different teams. This makes it almost impossible to achieve these goals. This is when integration solutions come into play. Many of our students work almost exclusively with integration solutions. One of them commented, "He said that integration is a compensatory activity. It compensates for what we should have done right from the beginning, but didn't do." The diagram you just saw doesn't even closely describe the integration problem. The one you're seeing now at least touches on it. An integration solution is complex. It must integrate every application that keeps data on the same kind of entity. It must integrate new applications that store that kind of entity. It must react when an application changes its way of describing that type. These are not easy tasks. The Gartner Group says that only 8% of an application's lifetime cost is for initial development. The remaining 92% is for maintenance. How much of that is for integration solutions? We would say that it's quite a large part. So, maybe the most simple of application models isn't so uncomplicated after all. Maybe it introduces a lot more complexity than it saves. Integration solutions don't do anything at all for solving the business rules problem. That's entirely a different kind of problem. It requires other solutions, each one introducing its own kind of complexity. The question is, if there is a solution, is there another model that reduces the need for costly and complicated integration solutions? Of course there is. That's the idea of master data and the idea of information services. Here, our old friends Application A and Application B are still around, but they have no application databases. Instead, they share the information provided by the product, sales, and customer information services. Each of them, in turn, keeps its own very private and very specialized database. An information service keeps data from a specific information area, such as products, sales, and customers. It's the only authoritative source of that data. We emphasize the word authoritative. There may be other sources too, as you'll soon see, but this is where you go for the greatest and latest version, the master data. Application A and Application B don't keep any customer data with this model. They go to the customer service for it. When doing this, they remove the need for complex integration solutions. Integration is built into the original design. As our student said, should have done right from the beginning, but didn't do. Now we've done it right from the beginning. This model also takes care of the business rules problem. All structural business rules execute in the respective information services business logic components. No structural business rules execute in the consuming applications. You won't have to duplicate your business rules anymore. You don't have to put them in different places. You don't have to specify them the same way or to code them in the same way everywhere they are, because they won't be in more than one place. All that is gone. Life has become simpler. But once again, there is no such thing as a free lunch. Application A no longer has access to all the data it needs. Instead, it must go to three different information services, asking each of them for some of the data it needs. It can't use SQL things such as joins, unions, or subselects. It won't get the data clusters it needs, at least not if they involve data from more than one service. It has to make these clusters for itself. You could move the complexity away from the application and onto a capability service, such as this one, the Register Sales Opportunity Service. That service could collect the data Application A needs from the information services. It could structure it in the way the application wants it. In short, it could make life easier for the application. But it can't remove the complexity, just move it to another place. Once again, we should ask ourselves if there is a solution. Is there a way to get the best from these two different worlds, avoiding the worst? Letting the application have its own database with all the data it needs. Having master data in information services to reduce the need for complex integration solutions. Yes, there is. We'll first show you a synchronous version with no need for the Azure Service Bus. Then we'll show you one with the Azure Service Bus. Let's start with the user application. It looks like the Stovepipe version, but now its database is read-only. At least in principle. The application will only use it for reading purposes, that is, for queries. Commands are requests for the creation, update, or deletion of entities. The application sends such requests directly to the service. These are normal synchronous requests, and the services can expose APIs for them. Depending on the requirements, these APIs can be REST or RPC APIs. They can use WCF and SOAP, or they can use the new ASP.NET Web API. It all depends on what the service needs and what's best for its consumers. Commands then may change the state of entities stored in the information service. How is the application database updated when an information service has modified its state? Well, that's easy, at least if this is the only application involved in the scheme, which is seldom the case. When an information service has modified its state, it will send a message about it to Application A. It will use synchronous operations for that, so they are easy to design and implement. The application can expose an API for each of the information services it wants to keep data from. These APIs can be easy-to-use REST-based APIs implemented in Microsoft's Web API. After validating each of these messages, Application A uses them to update the database, keeping it current. So far so good and so far so easy, right? There's one other thing you should understand, though, to make this picture complete. Application A is not the only application sending commands to these information services. Let's move our focus to the customer service. That will help us explain. Let's assume that it currently has three applications sending commands to it. Each one is using the synchronous API the service exposes for this purpose. We have suppressed the internal components and databases in the applications, but just for diagram simplicity, they are still there, even though now hidden. Each of the applications will need an API for messages about customer modifications. Actually, each of them might need several such APIs. For example, one for modifications to customers, one for modifications to products, one for modifications to suppliers, and so on. We'll remove these extra APIs again, because we don't need them right now. But in a real scenario, you would need them, and perhaps a few other ones too. Anyway, when the customer service receives a command, it has three things to do. First, it must use its business logic to validate the command. Second, it must obey it and update the database. Third, it must broadcast messages to each subscriber about these updates. Notice that each of these messages is sent through a synchronous channel. This means that the service must know which the subscribers are. It will have to send them one message at a time and then wait for the subscriber to respond to or at least acknowledge it. This is cumbersome, and it's taking time and resources away from the service. Enter the next consumer. Now there's one more application to contact when customer data has been modified. For that, you must change the behavior of the service, making application D a subscriber as well. This is a complex situation. The service has a lot to do for each modification it makes. It will have to be modified each time there's a new consumer. It may turn out to be a bad performer because all of that extra work. And what will happen when one of the consuming applications is down? How should the customer service handle that situation? And there's another thing I haven't even mentioned. Do all the applications want information about all modifications to customer data? If not, they will still get them all. They will still have to filter out unwanted messages after having received them. Maybe this isn't such a simple solution as you may have thought. Maybe it leaves too much for the customer service to do. You could offload work from the customer service by adding a customer publisher, like so. Now there's only one address for the customer service to send these messages to. Life has become easier for it. But the complexity doesn't disappear. It just moves to another place. Now it's the publisher that will have to know about every subscriber. It must be able to handle situations when a subscriber is down. It must be able to add new subscribers. And, more likely than not, the subscribers would still have to do their own filtering. So, nothing much has changed. This synchronous solution is still as complex as it was before. In fact, we haven't even been close to showing you all that makes this kind of architecture complex. Most likely, each of these applications will need more than one subscription, as with the case in application C here, which has three subscriptions going on. And that's it for episode 4. In the next episode, we will show you how the Azure Service Bus can help you improve this pattern. Less brittle, faster, more scalable. If you like this episode, you'll love episode 5. See you then!